We are going to take up House Bill 1282. It revises the conditions under which certain contracts with a local officer are permitted. Representative Garnos brought us this bill. We did have quite lengthy testimony on it, but out of respect for Representative Garnos, I am going to allow him to make a few comments, and then we will take additional comments from proponents, opponents for just a couple of minutes. Representative Garnos? I will say this, our usual business order is that we take a bill, we take the proponents, we take the opponents, we take question and answers, and then we do comments or rebuttal by the sponsor, and then we take up any amendments at that time. Then we close to committee questions and answers, and then we close to committee discussion and or action. Representative Garnos, House Bill 1282.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to come back, and I'll be very brief here, and I also want to say good morning to the rest of the committee. House Bill 1282, if you remember from last week, had a good thorough investigation and comment on it, and it deals with the conflict of interest. And if you look at the bill, you can see that there were seven exceptions already to this. And the couple things that I just want to point out here briefly is that what this bill does by the extension section number 8 is it will allow the opportunity for people to run, qualified, talented, bright people to run for different offices within their county, and this would of course include county commissioners, city council, and school board members. I think this is a common sense exception, because if you think about this, you know, the changing demographic landscape of South Dakota, it has changed so much over the last 40 years, and that's why I would even argue for those seven before that, in terms of when you look at that, those were needed at the time, and I think this is needed at the time again. I just want to give you one quick reference to this in a particular, you know, will the question that come up is there going to be fraud, is there going to be deceit here, and I don't think so, because within the bill they talk about a just and justifiable by means by which bids are accepted. An example I'll give you is a school board, a couple of school board members that were actually bidding in a county for a project within the school. It was to redo the parking pave lot there, and it's about a $60,000 job, and one couple of the board members were actually construction workers or people that did that type of work. They bid it on, and there's also an outside bid from somebody that was not on the board, and it was just a common sense issue. They took the lowest bid, and it was from the person outside the board. So I don't think that influence happens. And again, when you look at this overall, what we need here in South Dakota are talented, bright people willing to take these positions in these offices. And I think what we need to do is, you know, expand this in a limited way, which isn't going to hurt the rest of the entities within the county or within the state. So I would ask for your thoughtfulness on this and your support of this. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Cooper. Are there additional proponents who wish to say anything that perhaps didn't get an opportunity to the other day, or just want to be brief and add something? And then I'll take the opponents for just a couple minutes, and then we'll ask questions. We're a little more relaxed this morning. Please state your name, sir.
Madam Chair, I'm Lennis Storms from the Associated School Boards and members of the Local Government Committee. I didn't get an opportunity. I didn't think we was going to get an opportunity again this morning, but we have a number of school boards who don't even have an election because they don't get the people to run for it. And a lot of them who happen to be business people in the community, the local government gives them a little bit of their income, and they can't afford to risk losing that income because they run for the school board. And there's other factors that come into that, but we are already limited the number of people we get running for the board, and I think this would just help expand that a little bit, not much, but it would be of some help. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I did have an opportunity to testify the other day, and I will not repeat the points that I made, and I do thank you for allowing me to cover one little issue that I neglected to address. I wanted to explain to you one of the amendments that you have. I think it was moved, I'm not sure, but anyway, one that you have in front of you, and boy, I don't know the number on it. It's, no, not yours, the other one.
1282JA.
Is that the first one? Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, and I want...
I have not moved any of the amendments,
okay,
to my recollection.
I just wanted to explain that amendment. The exception that you see in the new language in paragraph 8 was actually drafted by an attorney who is not from South Dakota. And so in the original language of the bill, he had placed in here, provided that the rates with respect to such contract are required to be filed with the PUC. In actual fact, in South Dakota, small local companies and or small independent and co-ops are not required to file their local rates with the PUC. So that language was not appropriate for South Dakota. So that's why we changed it, just to indicate that the provider of the services is subject to state regulatory control. And again, the idea here is to keep this exception restrictive. And you heard Mr. Bauer's testimony, and he just wants to be able to run for office. And so the safeguards then that are built in are the 1,000, or the no other sources available, and it's fair, just and reasonable. And then the last part is that we're not talking about just a private contract out there. We're talking about a private or a provider who is subject to regulation by another state agency. There has been, since our last hearing, some concern expressed to me by the Public Utilities Commission, and their concern is that by listing that particular state agency, it may be drawing undue attention to them, and we weren't trying to single out the PUC, and I would have no problem with the committee deleting the Public Utilities Commission and just having making it clear that the provider of the service is subject to a state regulatory agency. Of course, the PUC would be included in that. But again, the idea behind it is just that this is not a provider out on its own. It's a provider that is subject to regulation by a state agency.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Further proponents. Seeing none, are there opponents? Additional opponents?
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. I testified last week as well. I'll try to avoid...
And would you give your name to us again, sir?
I'm sorry. Leo Disberg with the Bureau of Administration. I'll try to avoid repeating the comments that were made last week. I would like to raise a few points, though, that cause me concern. This bill contains a floor of $1,000, but no ceiling. It's open-ended on that. I mean, it could be $10,000, $20,000, $200,000. There's no limit on the length of the contract. In some cases, these contracts, particularly telephone services, are open-ended. They end when service is discontinued. The question was raised by several members of the committee last week to the effect that what happens if another company or person wants to offer the same services? Those proposing this bill had no clear answer when that question was raised. It's not clear exactly what the effect of this bill would be. This bill creates a loophole. If we're concerned about slowly nicking this statute with 1,000 cuts one at a time, maybe the more honest approach would simply be to eliminate the statute entirely, rather than creating exception after exception. This is being sold as applying in a particular instance to a particular individual. Checking, there were four candidates for the two seats on the Lyman County Commission at the last election. Having said that, are there some cases in which candidates decide not to run for a particular office because they or their company does business with that governmental entity? Certainly. That is the purpose behind the fundamental statute on conflict of interest. It's a decision that some of you may have had to make. Are you going to run for public office? Are you going to be a member of the legislature? Or are you going to continue to do business with the state? It's a tough choice. It's one that needs to be made. Other public officials, including yourself, must avoid these conflicts and make that tough choice. One moment. Although this was indicated that this is being narrowly drafted to cover this particular instance, there are other companies which could fall within this exception, larger companies in larger communities. If the criteria were met that are set forth in this exception, it would apply to every local governmental unit, regardless of the size of the company involved or the community. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents? Seeing none, we'll close to questions and answers. And Representative Garnos, would you care to make an additional comment? Is Representative Garnos out there? He had to leave. Okay, very good. Questions and answers by the committee. Seeing none, we'll close to committee discussion and or action. Representative Roden.
I did have a question, and I don't know who to direct it to, so I'll direct the chair. Concerning the last point that was made about big business, I realize the target for this bill was to address small communities and where there isn't a lot of competition for these boards and where you have a lack of people. But that is a big concern of mine, that you pass a bill trying to target those areas that includes the entire state. And I guess the question would be how the proponents of this bill would answer.
Would one of the proponents care to answer? Ms. Rogers, would you do so if you would?
Thank you. I will try to answer your question. I think that one of the safeguards, I guess, or what would protect an abuse of this particular exception in a larger community is if you do have a larger community and you're talking about big companies, you're probably going to have a lot of bidding for the different contracts and services. That's what happens in larger counties and communities. And once you get into a bidding situation, you don't need your exception under this particular, or under any of these subsections. The exceptions would not be at issue.
Follow-up question, Representative Roden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Telecommunications is one example that has been brought to me where competitive bidding is not required. Would that?
It's not required, but it could be, you know, if there were competitors, it could certainly be bid. There's nothing that would prohibit a local entity from doing that.
Thank you. We do have two amendments before we close to, I did open it up for Representative Roden's questions. He just missed the wire there. We do have two amendments before us. We have 1282JA and we have 1282FA.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hennies.
Do you want to do these one at a time or together?
I believe we have to do it one at a time.
Right, I would move 1282FA.
FA? Is everyone clear on what 1282FA is? Representative Hennies moves. Is there a second to that amendment? Representative Hansen moves 1282FA. Discussion on that motion? Not. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed nay. Amendment carries. 1282FA is added to the bill.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hennies.
I would move 1282JA, please.
Representative moves 1282JA. Is the committee for understanding what that is? Representative Hargan seconds that amendment. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The bill 1282 is so amended with 1282JA and 1282FA. Discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You know, I certainly can appreciate where these folks are coming from, and I think we need to make every opportunity available so that you can get people to run to office and try to minimize the conflicts that are there, especially with the conflict of interest. However, as I look over this bill and I see that we're now allowing for another exception to the rule, of, and that being number 8, it makes me think, okay, why do we have all these exceptions? Is there something wrong with the statute to begin with, and would be the proper place to go back and look at the entire statute and then come back, rather than creating another exception, because I believe next year there'll be some other group and they'll want to be. So for that reason, I know you asked for comment. Can I make a motion?
We are close to committee discussion and or action.
I would move House Bill number 1282 to the 41st day.
That is 1282 as amended to the 41st day. Representative Hunhoff makes that motion. Is there a second? Representative Roden seconds that motion. Representative, discussion on that motion. Representative Hargens.
Madam Chair, I would just urge the committee to resist this effort. I think this isn't something that we're looking at for Yankton or a Sioux Falls or a Rapid or a Pier. But you take a small town, like I'll tell you one near where I farm, Faulkton, South Dakota, and it's served by a small telephone company owned by one family. And they are the sole provider for the Faulkton School District, the Polo School District, the Crespard School District, the City of Faulkton, the County of Falk. And that man and his two sons and their families are precluded from being members of any of those boards because of this law. And they do a lot of very good things for their community on their own time and with their own money. And they would be excellent people to have on a board of directors, county commission, city commission, what have you. This isn't something that's going to affect the big cities where there is the possibility of something big going on. This is more of a small community issue. So I would just urge you to resist this effort and vote down the 41st day, and then we'll go back and send it to the floor. Thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Hansen.
Yes, I would move a substitute motion to pass.
Second.
It's a substitute motion has been made by Representative Hansen to pass on 1282 as amended, seconded by Representative Hargens. Discussion on that motion.
Madam Chair.
Representative Roden.
I would just like to comment on Dale's comments, and they were very well stated, and I agree with him. I think that we do have to make it easier for these small towns, you know, and the problems that they face. But I have to also agree with Representative Hunhoff. You look at this bill as it lays before us. There's one paragraph stating the bill and 2.5 pages of exceptions. I think that the problem here needs to be addressed, but I don't think it's being addressed in the proper way. We need to, if we're going to have 8 exemptions, 8 and counting, I think we need to look at this from a little broader perspective and maybe find a better way to address the problem.
Additional comments? Representative Hargens.
Well, I'd just point out on page 3, section 8, any contract involving more than, now it says $5,000, if there is no other source of supply or service available. So I think that should allay a lot of concerns that people have for this. And I might point out that just last week or the week before, we put number 8 on the insurance, the prostate cancer. Some of these laws do need changing. They do need tinkering with. And probably half of the bills we deal with are that same way. So thank you. And I would urge your support to pass.
Representative Hansen, additional comments on the do pass motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, at first glance, it does look like it's kind of a complicated bill, and there's lots of exceptions. But I think that it really is probably a little more simple than what we are talking about. Because you know, first of all, the amendment now provides for what would be called small and incidental purchases that would eliminate the need to go to bid. And then, of course, there's a factor in there, which I'm not sure which statute it is, but if the amount involved is over $15,000, they have to go to bid. And it's understandable that there be a differentiation between when there's one source of supply and two sources of supply. And that's the statute that has been in existence all the time previously. Now, the Section 8, which deals with a public utility, that really is kind of a different sort of an entity. It's difficult to go to bid for a public entity and or a public utility type company. And so I think that really what Representative Garnas is trying to do here is to just make the bill a little bit more inclusive of the real world that sits out there. And I know exactly what Representative Hargens is talking about, because that's my home country. And that, you know, there are many other areas that fit into that same category. But even in even in a little larger setting, in my town of Huron, we have similar situations. And that's part of the reason for my introducing the amendment to increase that $1,000 limitation on small and incidental purchases to up to $5,000. That's a figure that hasn't been adjusted in 10 years. And over 10 years. And we have a person sitting on the city council who's in the printing business. And there's another source of supply in the city. So the way they would like to do it, and the way that's the most advantageous to the taxpayers, is to be able to go to each of these two business people, no matter whether one of them sits on the city council or not, and say, what kind of a price will you give me on a pallet of paper or whatever? And the city council has the, you know, they, in doing their job that we've elected them to do, they will take the lowest amount. When they only have to go to one of those people, the one who's not on the city council, you can be pretty sure that the amount that's going to be charged to the city is not going to be the lowest possible amount. So I think that you know, that you it really is quite simple. If the amount is over $15,000, you go to bid. Now we bring in the public utility, and I think it makes it a good bill. So I recommend that you vote yes on the do pass. Thank you.
The motion on the floor is do pass on House Bill 1282 as amended. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Aye.
Hanson.
Aye.
Hargan.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
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 Marshall.
Aye.
Roden. No.
Sigstad.
Aye.
Slaughter.
Aye.
Pennies.
Aye.
Donovan.
No. House Bill 1282 as amended goes to the floor. Do pass.